Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 7, Text 146, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojanam. Eighteen Artha Sharva Sutra Parjabhasan. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojanam. 18 Artha Sharva Sutra Parjabhasan. Sutra Sambandha Abhideya Prayojanam. 18 Artha Sharva Sutra Parjabhasan. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojanam. 18 Artha Sharva Sutra Parjabhasan. Translation: One's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, activities in terms of that relationship, and the ultimate goal of life, to develop love of God. These three subjects are explained in every aphorism of the Vedanta Sutra, for they form the culmination of the entire Vedanta philosophy. Purport: In Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Parabhavastava dabodhajato yavanna jignyasata atma tattvam. A human being is defeated in all his activities as long as he does not know the goal of life, which can be understood when one is inquisitive about Brahman. It is such inquiry that begins the Vedanta Sutra, Athato Brahma Jignyasa. A human being should be inquisitive to know who he is, what the universe is, what God is, and what the relationship is between himself, God, and the material world. Such questions cannot be asked by cats and dogs, but they must arise in the heart of a real human being. Knowledge of these four items, namely oneself, the universe, God, and their internal relationship, is called sambandha jnana, or the knowledge of one's relationship. When one's relationship with the Supreme Lord is established, the next program is to act in that relationship. That is called abhideya, or activity in relationship with the Lord. After executing such prescribed duties, when one attains the highest goal of life, love of Godhead, he achieves prayojana siddhi, or the fulfillment of his human mission. In the Brahma Sutra or Vedanta Sutra, these subjects are very carefully explained. Therefore, one who does not understand the Vedanta Sutra in terms of these principles is simply wasting his time. This is the version of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharmasvanushtita pungsang vishvaksena kathasu yaha notpadayed yadirating shrama eva hi kevalam. One may be a very learned scholar and execute his prescribed duty very nicely, but if he does not ultimately become inquisitive about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and is indifferent to shravanam, kirtanam, hearing and chanting, all that he has done is but a waste of time. Mayavadi philosophers who do not understand the relationship between themselves, the cosmic manifestation, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are simply wasting their time, and their philosophical speculation has no value. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojanam, 18 Artha Sharva Sutra Parjabhasan. One's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, activities in terms of that relationship, and the ultimate goal of life, to develop love of God. These three subjects are explained in every aphorism of the Vedanta Sutra, for they form the culmination of the entire Vedanta philosophy. Yesterday, we celebrated Sri Ramanavami, the appearance festival of Sri Ramachandra Bhagavan, discussing about remembering and enacting the pastimes of Sri Ramachandra. And it was very pleasing to all who participated, spiritually pleasing. And now, this morning, it's back to philosophy. Not that yesterday there was no philosophy, but it was cast in the mold of discussion of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord as Ramachandra Bhagavan. So you may say, well, why don't we have a festival every day? Actually, we have a festival every day. Just some days more than others, you could say. Otherwise, singing, dancing, Krishna consciousness is an eternal festival. But why all, you know, discussing philosophy? It's a bit dry, isn't it? You might think it's a bit dry. We criticize the gyanis, shushka gyani, dry, dried up. Arasagga ka kachushe, gyana nimba phale. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that. Those who have no rasa, they're like crows. See, yesterday we saw Sita's calling Ravana crow. So arasagya ka kachusha, those who are without rasa, the gyanis, they say nothing, no rasa, nirvishay, nothing, everything's all the same. So they're like crows who they like to chew on the neem fruits. And Rashagya kokil, it's not a kokil here, but it's a nicely singing bird. Rashagya kokil kai premamramukule. And the kokil, translated as cuckoo, although it's the nearest English equivalent. So those who are knowledgeable of rasa, they're not shushka gyani, they're not dry gyanis, they're knowledgeable, they know what is rasa, and they eat the buds of the mango tree. This comes up in the discussion between Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, why all this philosophy? You may think, well, it's, you know, we just want the nectar, only nectar. So, actually, bhakti is all nectar, and it's not that the philosophical discussions are not nectarian. But the idea that, well, the prayojana, the goal of life, is love of God. This was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's theological contribution, we would say in modern Western academic terms. His topmost theological contribution is love of God at the highest level. Unatajvala rasa, anarpita chiring chirat karunya avatirno kalo, samapiyatam unatajvala rasa swabhakti shriya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that which had not been offered previously. He gave it in this Kali Yuga, the highest thing to the least qualified. He fully gave it, take it, samapiyatam unatajvala rasa, the topmost blazing, resplendent rasa, untranslatable rasa of bhakti to himself. So why not just go directly for that? Why all this philosophy? Well, Sambandha and Abhideya have to come first. First of all, understand what is our relationship with Krishna and how to act in that. And some may say, that, well, what do you need all this philosophy to understand it? You just love Krishna, that's all. A few years ago, it came up in the newspaper that a senior police officer in Lucknow, which is the capital of UP. That's right, it's the capital of UP. That, the Hindu, I'm running. So, he was, as you're getting older in life, in his 50s, he became more and more interested in Krishna. So at home, and he thought he was Radha. So he'd dress in a sari. But it became too much when one day he was called to court. The police officers regularly have to go to court. And he went to the court in a sari. And then it just became too much. You know, I don't know what happened, but they just said, we'll have to consider what to do. Because you can't have a senior male police officer coming to court in a sari. So he was saying, my life is Krishna. And so he was just directly into, he loves Krishna. Isn't that wonderful? We're going everywhere preaching, do Krishna bhakti, and he's just, from previous life or whatever, he has this very strong feeling of devotion to Krishna. So he feels he's Radha and dressing in a sari. So that's why we speak philosophy. So if we say, just do bhakti, and say, oh, and what's, you have to learn something, so what is bhakti? Well, the gopis are the highest, Ramya Kached Upasana. Rajavadhu Vargena Ya Kalpita Ramya Kachit. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings is the highest bhakti is that of the gopis. So then you be a gopi. And why, there's millions of gopis, but Radha's the top. So just become Radha. Put on a dress and become Radha. So this is not the proper understanding. This is, I was just saying to you the other day, this term, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati often used to use. Swakapola Kalpita, which means, as Prabhupada says at the end of this purport here, those who do not understand the relationship between themselves, the cosmic manifestations, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are simply wasting their time and their philosophical speculation has no value. So, swakapol kalpita means, well, it's not even really philosophical speculation. It's just speculation. And I always used to think that the kapol is an upper brunch. What do you call that? A colloquial. Do you know that word in Tamil? Means a colloquial rendering. Just like you change a word a little bit. There are so many in Hindi especially. Nagna becomes nanga and all that. So, it means it's a Sanskrit word which is slightly changed into a modern Indian language. I'm sure there are plenty in Tamil. So I always used to think there was an upper branch of kapala, which means forehead, which means it's imagined out of your forehead. But then I actually looked it up in the dictionary. And kapola actually means cheek. And then again, you have to explain it, because you might, cheek can mean two things also. It can mean mild, mischievous audacity. Audacity means you're speaking to a superior in a way that you shouldn't speak, like saying something like, "I see, you're wrong." But in a not a very bad way, mildly. Pragalbya is the Sanskrit word. So, but I, here cheek means side of the face. So I never knew that word, actually. It's a Bengali word, Sanskrit word, but I just know the common word, same as Hindi, gal. So it means that imagined out of your cheek, that's what it actually means. Which means that if it comes out of your forehead, there might be something there. If it comes out of the side of it, it means it's just some air, it's supposed to, the air comes up and it's supposed to come out of your mouth, it comes out of your cheek. Just talking complete nonsense. Swakapola kalpita. Just completely nonsense. So if you don't know, then you're going to get it wrong. You may think, well, love, it's just love. Yes, and love is beyond philosophy, but we're a long way from loving. Even the very word love, whether you say it in English or Sanskrit, prem, in Tamil, what's the word for love? I won't be able to pronounce it anyway. Some other word is there. Yeah. So, whatever it is, it's misunderstood. And even if you speak of love of God, people must misunderstand it because they don't know. Love means, first thing to understand, sambandha. Whether it's love between me and my wife, of course, I don't have a wife. But someone and his wife, or someone and his dog, may say, "I love my dog." Or between God, it's the same word. So, first of all, we have to understand, people just presume, you know, well, who are you? You ask people, who are you? I think it's a silly question. But they don't, they'll say, "My name is..." I don't know, something like, I don't know, Alok Chaudhary, something like that. Mine. So I'm Alok Chaudhary, you know, that's who I am. And who is God? Well, you know, people, they go to the church, don't they, or the temple, you know, that guy, you know, everyone knows. So that's God. Or my God is Shiva and your God is Vishnu and someone else's God is Ayappa. And there are plenty of new guys coming around all the time. Juggy. There's Juggy Bhagavan. So God, yeah, we know who God is. And the relationship is love, that's all. But we are all mentally disturbed people. We don't know, actually. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he would go to... He would want to define the word, every word, redefine. People would complain about him, that in the, your magazine is coming, you should send us a dictionary with your magazine. Because we don't know... One thing, we don't understand half the word, just like this word, parjabashan. All those years in Bengal, I never heard the people speak this word ever. So it's not common language. So he would use. And then another thing is the way. One thing is using words that people don't use at all. Another thing is using words in a different way altogether. Because for what they take to be bhakti, what they take to be Bhagavan, what they take to be kalyana. Kalyana in your language generally means marriage, but otherwise normally it means welfare, upakar, para upakar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Doing welfare for others. So all this needs to be explained. Janma shata kari karo para upakar. Para upakar means do benefit for others. Oh, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, open hospitals, open schools. Do welfare for others. No, that's not the meaning. That's not the meaning. We have to get the... There's actually a... Vaishnav Abhidhan, Vaishnav Dictionary, which was, a lot of that was taken from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He started work on that Vaishnava Manjusha. Manjusha means a casket, especially in which you'll keep very valuable things. So not everyone can get there. So once one pandit said to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati that when you send your magazine, you send your dictionary because we can't understand. Where do you get all these words? He said, the dictionary is my Gurudev's lotus feet. That's all. And his Gurudev, he couldn't sign his own name anything, which was normal in most people in India those days, or in the world. They didn't read or write. But he was pure in love of Krishna. So he may say, then why are you teaching all this, you know, all this philosophy and all this, so much philosophy and criticizing others? Why don't you just be like your guru and just chant Hare Krishna and be happy? Of course, if anyone came near Gaurakishore Das Babaji, then, well, he would deal with people in two different ways. Sometimes he would cheat them by pretending to accept them and just be nice with them. And other times he'd just tell them that it's all rascal cheating nonsense, all this. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he mostly just told people directly what is the fact. Because otherwise people don't get it. If you think we'll just go directly into prayojan, we'll just directly have love of Krishna, but we don't understand who he is, how to love him, there's a process given to awaken our dormant love for Krishna. If we don't have that, then we'll misunderstand. Just like sometimes we hear that some people are told that, well, you do your studies, that is your devotional service. Or you work hard and have a good career and good job, and that's your devotional service. Now that can be. It can be your devotional service if you do it with the intention to please Krishna. That is your purpose for doing it. But at the same time, that should be understood. It's not devotional service in the same way that Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam is. If you do that, doing your studies or doing your job for the sake of pleasing Krishna, that doesn't mean that's a replacement for Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. And that is possible to dovetail in Krishna's service if there is the spirit of Atma Nivedanam. The whole point has to be understood first of all. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana kamadhyana avritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhakti rutama. This has to be understood first of all. That actual bhakti means free from all personal desire. So even if you say, I have pure love for Krishna, but that may be full of selfishness also, that I just want to love Krishna. Krishna, come Krishna, let's enjoy together. But that's not the mood. We have to hear from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Aslishava padaratam pinashtumam. You embrace me or crush me beneath your feet. But I am only meant for serving you. This is the prayer of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Radha. So, that fully giving ourselves to Krishna. But factually, we're not able to because we're so much accustomed to not giving ourselves to Krishna, to acting for sense gratification, that we have to be trained. What is actual love for Krishna? We have to follow the process. That means sambandha. We have to understand what is our sambandha. Then we have to be trained, follow the process so that we can rectify and rewire our contaminated consciousness. And then we also have to understand what is anukulyasya krishnanushilanam. There's a cultivation of Krishna consciousness. We have to understand anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya vajram. We have to understand what is favorable for executing bhakti and what is opposite to that. Otherwise we may just think, well, I love Krishna, okay, Krishna loves the gopis, I'm dressing as a gopi, and that's it. But no, you don't know. This is not favorable. Krishna doesn't want to embrace your mundane body. Then you have to shave twice a day. Otherwise, it doesn't look too much like a gopi with all the hairs coming out of the face. But we never heard the gopis are shaving. So there's just a pretense. So we have to learn the science, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is not only the Rasa Leela. First we have to understand what is Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. The science, otherwise we'll misunderstand. Just like your devotional service can be, it can be. But that doesn't mean that you just do studies or you just work hard and get a career and get lots of money. And that will be, but that can be dovetailed and considered devotional service if one has a very strong background of Shravanam Kirtanam and one's intention is to serve Krishna. That just like you'll find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gives instructions to Rupa and Sanatan on how to write books, and he tells what are the instructions for performing devotional service. So one of the things that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says the Vaishnava should do is danta dhavana, which means cleaning your teeth. So everyone over there in the village, Karupur, I think it's they're all cleaning their teeth in the morning. Unless you're completely crazy or maybe you have some dental problem or you're sick, or everyone brushes their teeth this morning. Are they all doing bhakti? You know, I'm following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. I brush my teeth, so I don't need to chant my rounds. I'm following something. But that means that every Vaishnava should brush his teeth. That doesn't mean that just by brushing your teeth you become a Vaishnava. You brush your teeth, why? Of course, there's to maintain the body in good health for serving Krishna. And also, because there should be no smell coming from the mouth for the when you're worshipping the deity, associating with devotees. So these reasons are there. And that's why it said on Ekadashi, one should not brush the teeth. But Jiva Goswami, you should do, because you have to worship the deity. So he makes some adjustments. But it's not in and of itself bhakti. But if you're doing Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, on the background of Atma Nivedanam, then everything you do turns to bhakti. Because that's your goal and your intent. So that's called Sangha Siddha. That means that Swarup Siddha Bhakti means activities which are intrinsically and of themselves pleasing to Krishna. And Sangha Siddha means something that you do which is not directly bhakti, but because you do it in conjunction with bhakti, therefore it's also considered bhakti. People brush their teeth in the morning because they want to have white teeth, so they don't want their breath to smell. And from pretty much the same reasons that devotees do, but their overall intention is sense gratification. And the overall intention of the devotees is to please Krishna. Therefore, whatever the devotee does is bhakti. But he's enjoined to utilize his time in hearing and chanting about and serving Krishna directly. Now, if your aim of life is to get a job and get lots of money and have a respectable position among foolish people who think they're respectable. It means normal, what we call normal people, the madhouse of the material world. So if you want to be respected, if you think that's something important to be respected by them, although Bhaktivedanta Thakur, but he's praying for the mercy of his guru. He's the ultimate installment of the mercy of his guru will be that amare, what is that? Amare bishoyi pagala bolia angati dibe kadhuli. This will be my topmost manifestation of guru's mercy on me, that all the materialistic people will say I'm completely mad and throw dirt on me. And then, this is the real mercy of the guru. That you become so mad in love of Krishna that they just totally reject you. But not by imitation, not by putting on a sari and saying, I'm Radha. So, this can be understood. Other activities, yeah, so you want to have a job and you're also churning around on your way to work and while looking at the latest stocks and shares while you're doing it. That can't be called, you can't, if you just say to have a good career is bhakti without qualifying it and explaining how it can be, then it's actually an offense to Bhakti Devi. It's an offense to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to all the acharyas who came and taught all these points and distinguished and clarified what is pure devotion, what is mixed devotion. Below the, there's the Sarup Siddha and Sangha Siddha, then there's also Arup Siddha, that you just call it bhakti. It's not really bhakti at all, but you just say it is. Or you do something you more or less want to do it for your own sense gratification, but you say, well, okay, I'm offering it to Krishna. Yeah. Govindaya Namaha, that story is there of the man is walking along with this puffed rice on his head, carrying it in the basket, and the wind comes and blows some away. Govindaya Namaha. He offers it to Govinda as it's blowing away. Anyway, I can't get any benefit, so Govinda took it away, let him have it. So at least he can bless me that next time I'm eating goats and fish, which is quite common among people in Bengal, then Govinda may forgive me. I don't know what their mentality may be. But this, that you wanted to take it for your enjoyment, anyway you couldn't, so let Govinda enjoy. Let me get some benefit from him. So, yeah, you may also wonder, why Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur so much lambasting these false Vaishnavas? Because they take the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and twist it for their own sense gratification. So it comes out the same thing. Just like Bhaktisthana Saraswati Thakur was very critical of one spring festival in Navadvip called Dhulat, in which people would come from all over, and there'd be very nice singers, and they'd sing all songs about Rasalila, and there would be illicit sex on the side. That festival is not very popular now. What happened? Did the world become purified? No, just illicit sex, you can do it other ways. Now it's become more possible in human society. Previously it was not possible in Indian society to have sex outside of marriage without being strongly castigated. So if you have the idea, well, actually it's religious, and religion, oh, very high level. This is not just mundane lust, it's an expression of, you see, I'm Krishna, you are Radha, and all right, you fill in the rest of the script yourself. What will they do? We're all devotees of Radha and Krishna, gopis and Krishna. So I'm a male like Krishna, you're a female like a gopi. So, like this, they went on. That I just saw in Sahotra Swami's book, was that Dimensions of Good and Evil. For 1,000 years, there was a cult in Christianity called Adamites, in which they thought, well, we'll just be like Adam and Eve before there was sin, and we'll just live naturally with love of God in natural surroundings. And Adam and Eve, they didn't have clothes, and you can fill in the rest yourself. So before Darwin and Freud released us from all these religious shackles of thinking that there's something wrong with having sex outside of marriage, then religion was the excuse for some people. So the misunderstandings, if we don't understand very clearly and very nicely, then we're going to end up with a mess. So we have to understand, what is our relationship? First thing to understand. Oh, I just want to love Krishna. Okay, sit down. First of all, you study. Who are you? Who is Krishna? We may say this is ABC, but Bahunam Janmanam Ante Jnanavamam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatna Sudurlaba. It's beginning knowledge, but it's very high knowledge. It's just like you say, well, I'm just doing a beginning course in quantum physics. But to do a beginning course, you already have to go through so many other stages. Doing quantum physics, but and then you mentioned to them something about trigonometry. Trigonometry? What's that? Never heard of it. And how can you get up to quantum physics without having a good background in mathematics, actually classical physics, as they call it, and practically some kind of philosophy? So it's ridiculous. If you don't know how to multiply 2 by 2, then how are you going to study quantum physics? What to speak? Then you have to go through so much complex mathematics, and you have to be trained to think in a manner. I don't know all these things, but it seems to me that regular science study is a poor preparation in many ways, because it locks you into a kind of into a very mechanistic way of thinking. Whereas, at least according to the Copenhagen interpretation, when people say quantum physics, they mean Copenhagen interpretation generally. So it's full of all kinds of strange things, which if you think that, okay, 2 plus 2 equals 4, finished, settled, no question of it, 2 times 2 equals 4. Okay, there's no question of 4.1, 4.7. So it requires a lot of training. So just, oh yeah, I love Krishna. But it requires a lot of training to understand these things. We may say, well, what training do you need? You see, you don't need training. Just like I met a beautiful girl in the park, I didn't need any training to fall in love with her. Well, that's why we need training. To understand what is love of Krishna is not the same as meeting a beautiful girl in the park. That natural feeling, oh, I can't live without you. It's a natural feeling, you may say, but that spontaneous feeling, actually in pure devotion it's spontaneous, but that shouldn't be misunderstood to be the spontaneity that we feel when the senses are attracted to the sense objects. As long as our consciousness is not purified, then whatever spontaneity we have will bring us back to Maya, that's all. There's this misunderstanding that raga-nuga bhakti means it's just all spontaneous and no rules and regulations. But traditionally, those who are following, they were very austere. And they had to follow vows very strictly, very little eating, sleeping, and bhajan, hours and hours every day. And that's where the problem came, that the people can't do it, but they're trying to do it, and then they fall down, that they're trying to go very high, but they're not ready, and then they just fall down. Or worse still, they just make a show of it. They've been a Babaji, and it's very bad to go back from that way of life. Everyone will chastise you, so you remain a Babaji, but then you feel all these desires coming up, and then you just, on the side, you have some Seva Dasis, or maybe not even on the side, just like one place I went in Bangladesh, they introduced us. Here's our guru, Vaishnav guru. And there are a couple of youngish widows with him, dressed in white, you can understand, and without the shindur. So they're widows. And he said, what are this? He said, they're his sakis. And completely bogus, just openly. Completely bogus. And open because they're his sakis, just like Krishna and the God. So either secretly or openly, they can't maintain this high level, and they come down to the lowest, grossest level. And then people think, these are the great devotees. You see, everyone respects them, and everyone's following them, but they're off. And then everyone's going off. So everything should be understood clearly. Prayojana. What is prayojana? Well, what is our ultimate necessity? That's Krishna prema. But what is the background of that? Anyabhilashita shunyam. To have the attitude of that, I don't want to have any other desire than to serve Krishna. And we should understand that desire, it's not just the desire to eat meat or the desire to eat ice cream. It can be very subtle also. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, La puja pratishta jato upashakagon. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned some of the common, prominent deviations from pure devotional service, which he mentioned, that nishedacha kutinati jibe hingshan lab puja pratishta jato upashakaga. So nishedacha means you're doing things you shouldn't do. There are rules to follow. You have to follow them. Kutinati means cunning behavior. Hypocrisy, showing oneself to be something but being something else. Jibe hingshan, which in the context of Bengali Vaishnavism, you could say eating fish. Or don't eat fish. Or in a broader context, that one has to preach Krishna consciousness. If you don't preach Krishna consciousness, then you're actually envying. That you just, bhakti will be, I will enjoy bhakti. Let the others go to hell. Then the desire for profit, I'll do some bhakti, but have to look after myself also. So let me make some profit. And people should worship me. I should have a good position, all this kind of thing. And it all gets mixed up. And common people, they can't see the difference. They think, oh yeah, so wonderful, big. Just like, for instance, Srila Prabhupada, he was asked why he's building a big temple in Vrindavan when the six Goswamis, they lived under a different tree every night. Prabhupada said, if I sit under a different... He was already doing that before he came to the West. No one was listening to him. So he said, if I have a big temple, people think, oh, very important, they'll come and listen. Otherwise, Prabhupada, what he was saying, it was the same thing. He didn't change after he went to the West. So that's going on. So people, you have a big temple, and then people, whatever you say, they'll listen. You talk nonsense, they'll think, oh, very important Swami, he has so many followers, and big temple, must be right. But you see, Prabhupada had his big temple, and then he just spoke. Not then, before then, and all the time. But he didn't change his message. He always spoke clearly, differentiating reality from illusion for the benefit of all. He didn't change his method. He didn't just change it a little bit to get more followers. He didn't even think success was in terms of more followers. But people should understand. Prabhupada said, if one person can become a pure devotee, then I will be satisfied. I just consider my mission as successful. So how? First, we have to understand. The goal of life is pure love of Krishna. Means without any personal desire. But first we have to understand, what is our position? We are servants of Krishna. Servant, 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 servant. Even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which describes the attitude of the gopis in behaving with Krishna, sometimes they'll scold him. Sometimes Radharani will refuse to see Krishna. But in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami goes to great length to establish the basic philosophical principles. And one of them is that everyone is a servant of Krishna. Ekale Ishara Krishna Arsha Bhritta. Krishna is the supreme controller and all others are his servants. And he goes on to describe with praman, quotations from Shastra, that even those who are in Leela superior to him, they're also servants. Advaita Acharya is a servant. Nanda Maharaj, he's a servant. Radharani is a servant, though she takes the superior position sometimes. But Mat Prananata, she thinks Krishna is the Lord of my life. So this point has to be understood. And then Abhideya, how to act in that relationship, how to be guided exactly. Otherwise, you're going to go off. And if you go off, you miss the target. So everything has to be understood very, very clearly. And of course, understanding comes not just from listening to philosophical discourses, but from engaging in the purifying activities of hearing and chanting about Krishna. But even that may not purify us if we don't, in the beginning, have the right attitude. And we see sometimes devotees that they're very serious in some ways about bhakti. Like they'll do lots of chanting and follow austerities, but there's something wrong with their attitude in the very beginning. They never really brought deeply into their heart this that I'm simply meant for service. And they can't see the difference between serving and controlling. And they can't see how their devotional service is mixed up with desires for prestige. It may not even be for prestige. It may be just be that, well, I'll be friendly with everyone. Everyone will like me. That's the desire to be liked, to be popular. That's another anartha. If you think the most important thing, everyone should like me and we'll all be friends. And that's not proper understanding. We should do what Krishna wants. So that maybe you won't be friends with everyone. You have to go against some people and tell. Just like there's this idea that, well, you just, whatever anyone says, you just tolerate and it's all nice. And, you know, someone comes along and he gives a lecture and people come and they say that, well, we're all God. And someone stands up and protests and says that, are you God? Can you actually claim to be God? Did you create the universe? And then people will turn around and say, hey, come on, just, you know, don't disturb the atmosphere here. You know, just, if he wants to believe, you know, everyone, let everyone believe what they like. This is Maheshwar in Ojai. He's always, in Ojai is the western, in America, it's the capital. Well, it's one of the places of this New Age nonsense. So he's made it his task to go to all these different groups, and then someone will come in and talk something like, we're all God, you just have to realize it, and he'll just go there and give some pertinent questions. And then people will blame him. Well, why are you disturbing Why don't you just, you know, let everyone believe whatever they like? The main thing is that we all like each other, we all love each other. Doesn't matter what you believe. But no. If you say you are God, you're misleading others. You're self-mistaken. You're offensive to Krishna. You shouldn't allow it. The desire to be liked, to be popular. And the idea that popularity means success in spiritual life. These are very dangerous contaminations. Not that we're deliberately being unpopular, but we should know that if we speak the message of Bhagavatam as it is actually, then you're going to be unpopular. That's for sure. You can't explain this. If you want to be popular, then don't come here. That's all. Don't come here. Either you won't be popular with the masses, but even if you do come here with the idea I'll be popular, then you'll contaminate the whole area. If you come in with the idea, oh, everyone should like, they should see what everyone, then you have this false being nice and being kind and all on the Mother Teresa platform, just false platform of thinking that they're being nice. But they don't know what it is. They don't know what it is. Anyway, I discuss these points in some detail in this on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service. So we should understand all these points. We're not gonna speak every day on Leela. Yesterday Ram Leela. Now Chaitanya Leela. Chaitanya Leela means this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is teaching the Mayavadis why they're wrong and what is the actual understanding and philosophy. So this we have to do. Otherwise it'll just be a big mess. Otherwise it'll be back to the same mess that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had to confront. And practically, that's already there in so many ways in our movement. Just like it's so much compromised with the Western way of life that someone gets divorced and, you know, it's like saying, I had the flu. You know, something bad that happened and now it's over. So, I had flu. I got divorced. Oh, I had the flu. Are you better now? Okay. I got divorced. Oh, so got a new girlfriend yet? Oh, okay. Like this. Just ridiculous. No idea that we have to first we're talking about Krishna consciousness. First we have to have some basic culture. Actually it's not necessary to have first of all, but then if we go You can come from the most sinful background and come to Krishna consciousness, but that doesn't mean that we continue with our sinful background. We should understand that there's basic principles of dharma which everyone has to follow. Srila Prabhupada would often quote this. What are the basic principles of dharma? This daya, satya, socham, tapasya, mercy, cleanliness, truth and austerity. So that's not the highest level. But without that, then what are we going to talk about high levels? If we're eating meat, we're having illicit sex. So all these things should be understood. This is all from Bhagavatam. Those four legs of dharma. That's all from Bhagavatam. Four regulative principles. No meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex. No intoxication, all from Bhagavatam. So all these things should be understood. So I gave that example. See already how dangerous that is within our movement. Your career is your devotional service. Without explaining how it can be, not that automatically it is, how it can be your devotional service. If you're fully dedicated to Krishna, and actually the real thing you'd like to do is just sit and chant all day and study the books. but you're continuing with your career, mixing with these materialistic people just so you can mingle with them and preach to them. It's possible, although it's difficult, because the mentality of materialistic people is very materialistic. They're interested in money, prestige, position, and asat sangha tyag, give up bad association, is the one of the main teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it is possible, but it's not that just automatically that anyone who has a bead bag and they have a job, and then all of a sudden their job becomes their devotional service. It can be. But if you're simultaneously cultivating the desire, let me get a good job, let me get a promotion, more money, more prestige, is that bhakti? No. You may say, well, many people will join. Yeah, and it's nice, they'll chant Hare Krishna, but they'll all be materialistic people. So this is the defect of the how the whole sampradaya fell down. The failure to clearly distinguish between what is actual bhakti and what is not. So be careful. Then we have to read Prabhupada's books. And hear Srila Prabhupada and hear the message as spoken in the same way that Prabhupada spoke it. Otherwise, I just mentioned, you know, there's one thing I've noticed, that it's quite common people come to devotional service and they get they're trained with some courses, but not directly Prabhupada's books, but the course is written by some devotee, and they just choose the things which they think they should train the new people in. Which you can say that's a structured approach, why we have to follow the four regulated principles. I don't know if they tell them about not eating kami food, just vegetarian. You have to offer it to Krishna. So when you go to McDonald's, you get a vegetarian pizza and you remember to offer it to Krishna. So, but someone selects what they want to select, and they may not put in all the different things that they think, well, people are not ready for this. And then they're never ready. They never tell them. They never speak about it. Or things that themselves, they say, well, you don't need to hear that Prabhupada said that Prabhupada doubts very much if they ever went to the moon. They don't have to hear about that. That's not bhakti. So they don't tell them. And then if by good chance they ever read Prabhupada's books and they see that, then what will they be told? Well, that was his material teachings. Or, I don't know. They make up so many philosophies. So be careful. Sambandha abhideya prayojanam etiner artha sarva shute parjabhasan. His bhakti should be understood in these three divisions. Clearly understood. What is arop siddha bhakti? It means something with some touch of bhakti. Not no real intention to please Krishna, but anyway you're doing it, and all right, get Krishna's blessings also. Surup siddha bhakti, that we're doing it wholly and solely for Krishna's pleasure, which can never include having a job and a career. Because that is not in and of itself something that pleases Krishna. But it can be considered bhakti if you're also doing bhakti and you're doing that in a manner which, because you have a very strong basis in Swarup Siddha bhakti, there's hearing, chanting, then if you do a job or brush your teeth or whatever, then that can be considered bhakti in that case. But if you just say, well, yeah, your career is your devotional service, without explaining, then people think, oh, my career, then well, I don't need to do all this chanting and offering food to Krishna. I mean, my career, you see, the main thing is the career, because I have to, so for my career I have to go out and mix with people and eat. If I don't eat with them, then it's not good for the career. So I have to eat with them, I have to mix with them, stay out late at night, which means I don't get up early in the morning, and my career is my bhakti, and flop, and the whole thing is finished. But you still have a tilak on, and you're a senior devotee. and you're telling other people that your career is your bhakti, and the whole thing, whole understanding becomes lost. So be careful. Hare Krishna.